Now, I'd like us to turn to the Word of God in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Very familiar psalm. But because it's familiar, doesn't mean it hasn't something to say to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. I'd like you please to turn with me to this psalm that we have just read together, Psalm 103. You'll find our text in verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Are you claiming all your benefits? Ours is a handout society, and people are generally very well informed about all the government benefits for those who are sick, unemployed, and those who are in need of social service benefits. Many booklets and leaflets clearly lay out all that is available and how we can apply for it. Yet, with all that, there are still those, when meeting with a social worker, are told, you are not claiming all your benefits. The validity of any benefit depends upon the strength and ability of the benefactor to supply the need of the individual. Often government benefits are abused and taken for granted. This has been highlighted many times in recent years on the media, when we have heard of hundreds of millions of pounds being taken by false methods. God's benefits can also be abused, ignored, and taken for granted. The common grace which all men receive, such as intellectual ability, gifts, talents, health, food, clothing, family, are benefits which ultimately should lead men and women to repentance. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So the whole purpose of God in granting us these benefits and blessings is that men and women would be led to repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of this psalm and the verses 20 through to 22 show us how we should worship and praise the Lord. Our worship should not be just that of an intellectual exercise, but it should be soul worship. Great music has soul in it. And as far as David was concerned, his worship was deep and with great feeling. And he often expressed that through his music. The verses 2 through to 5. Here the psalmist is clearly laying out before us all the benefits the Lord has provided for us. All of these are undeserved and we have no right to them apart from the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The verses 6 through 19, we have a sight or an insight into the heart and the quality of our great benefactor, who he is, and all his provision, which enables him to fulfill all his great promises to us. So I want us, with that as a backdrop, to consider some of God's benefits toward mankind. First of all, there is the benefit of pardon. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Pardon or forgiveness comes first, because it is the preparation for everything which follows. There is a great deal of confusion about pardon in our society, as we often hear of someone who has committed a crime against another. And the one against whom the crime has been committed says, I forgive you, as if they had the right to pardon. We must remember that all sin is against God. And it's only when God forgives that we can forgive. Psalm 51 is very clear in verse 4. When David became aware of the awfulness of the sin that he had committed against Bathsheba, when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, and Nathan said to him, thou art the man. David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David recognized that his sin was not only against Bathsheba and against Uriah and against the whole nation, but it was ultimately and basically against God, the eternal God. And David knew that, and that is why he addressed his pardon to God. God alone is the only one that can forgive sin. And that's where we must begin acknowledging, and that's where you have to begin acknowledging that your sin, the sin that you were born with, that sin is against God. Not just against society, not just against other people, but it is supremely against God, the holiness of God. his righteousness and against his Son, Jesus Christ. The benefit of pardon. Now we have this benefit of pardon that God says to us that he will forgive all our iniquities and heal our diseases. We have this benefit, first of all, because of God's action. Look in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Iniquity means that man has deviated from the right course. It carries with it the idea of injustice, failure to fulfill God's standard of righteousness, having fallen short. And that is exactly that what every man or woman or boy or girl, the position they find themselves in, they have deviated from the right course. They are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. And when God was sinned against, there was only one man or one way that God could be satisfied. His divine justice could be satisfied. God acted to satisfy himself, for he sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, from all eternity, from a past eternity, to become the sacrificial lamb. For long before the cross was on the hill of Calvary, the cross was on the hills of glory, for he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God acted, sending forth Jesus into time to be born in that manger. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ became God's glory tent, which came down amongst us. That glory which was in the tabernacle and in the temple of old, that glory tent came in the person of Jesus Christ, for he came to tabernacle amongst us and to reveal to us God's glory. So God's glory has come into time to redeem lost humanity. So the work of pardon was initiated by God and completed by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he procured a full and final sacrifice for the sins of the world. God has taken action. The benefit of pardon because of God's action. But secondly, we have the benefit of pardon because of God's mercy. It says in the second part of verse 3, who healeth all thy diseases. The order for me and for all of us is very clear. First of all, the iniquity is dealt with. Then the diseases. God takes away our iniquity. He forgives our sins. He brings us into God's family. We are part of his family. We are sheep within his sheepfold. But God is not finished with us. We live in a fallen world. And when we are saved by the grace of God, God begins a work in our hearts to rid us of sin and to prepare us for heaven, that when we reach heaven, we will be perfect, free from all the diseases and fallenness of sin, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases. God does not give us what we deserve. It's interesting to listen to people, and especially in Northern Ireland and England, where the weather is usually the in subject to talk about. They say we talk more about the weather in these islands than anywhere else in the world. Maybe it's because we get rain and we're always looking for sunshine. I don't know. But sometimes you hear people saying, when they get a good day, well, we certainly deserve it. But do we deserve anything? Do we deserve any graciousness from the hand of our God? God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For he says in verses 10 and 11, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Indeed, God gives us what we do not deserve. What we deserve, all of us, in our sinfulness, is God's judgment. But wonder of wonders, because God has intervened in time, and he has brought this otherworldness into our midst. He has brought the glory of God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might come to appreciate that God is not giving us what we deserve. He's giving us what we do not deserve. Grace, his unmerited favor, righteousness, forgiveness, cleansing, peace with God, hope in a hopeless world, hope for eternity. This is what God gives us. None of us can deserve it. Indeed, the benefits that God gives to us in pardon through his Son, Jesus Christ, is as far removed from what we deserve as the heavens are above the earth. And that is a vast difference. That's how far removed from what we deserve what God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not deserve his pardon. So not only have we here the benefit of pardon, but secondly, we have the benefit of redemption. He tells us in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. When a disaster occurs in our world, anywhere, the World Rescue Services join their hands to organize a rescue mission to save as many lives as possible. We have seen that in recent years in the aftermath of the tsunami, of earthquakes, and great troubled areas around the world. The rescue operation goes into gear to help and to seek to save lives. When man sinned, God initiated that great rescue operation to redeem humanity with the coming of his Son. And the purpose in sending Jesus Christ was to bring man from where he is, exposed to the wrath and judgment of God, into fellowship with himself. How could this ever be possible? Man in his lostness, his fallenness, his ungodliness. And yet, through Jesus Christ, he has brought to us the benefit of pardon and the benefit of redemption. Now, the benefit of redemption, first of all, we have to be purchased to be redeemed. And verse 4 and verse 7 emphasize that. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Man is in a pit because of sin. And so for your salvation and for mine, a purchase price had to be paid, a ransom. And Jesus Christ has paid that ransom. Verse 7, of course, is referring back to that wonderful type of redemption when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt with a high hand, spoiling the Egyptians. When blood was shed and sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel, and the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so those who sprinkled the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, they were covered with that blood, and they were delivered from bondage and slavery. That was the great reference here to the redemption from Egypt. A wonderful type of what Christ has done through his redemption to redeem us from sin and set us free. The prevalent idea in the minds of many people today is, because God is a God of love, then he will not send anybody to hell. But let us never forget, he is a righteous God who cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. And he is also a God of anger. And so God's wrath must first of all be appeased and satisfied before his anger can be turned away. And in Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, there the heat of the wrath of God and the sin of humanity was laid upon the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, so that God was satisfied, and therefore his anger is turned away from us. What a salvation! What a benefit! What a great and glorious and a full redemption! So Jesus Christ, in redeeming us and paying that ransom price, he has become our substitute. Martin Luther, he sums it up beautifully in this great statement of the Reformer. "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You took on you what was mine, yet set upon me what was yours. You became what you were not, that I might become what I was not." That is what takes place when we are born again of the Spirit of God. The wonder of the cross work of Jesus Christ becomes operational in our hearts and lives. This is the heart of the gospel, what God has done in Christ. Jesus has paid the purchase price. The Apostle Paul reminds us that he has been made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we are purchased. But in this great work of redemption, we have been crowned. Look in verse 4. "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy." God's action in the cross work of Christ has been one of mercy and compassion, giving what none of us deserved or could merit. From being in the pit of sin, experiencing the love and mercy and forgiveness and redemption of God. The benefit of being crowned to be kings and priests unto God. We have to say, hallelujah, what a Savior, that he could provide such benefits for lost humanity. Are you claiming the benefit of pardon? The benefit of redemption. But thirdly, there is the benefit of satisfaction. Verse 5. who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. This is not a self-satisfaction. This is a satisfaction in God. That's the wonder of salvation, that we are satisfied in God. We are lost in wonder, love, and praise. That moment we reach out our hand and take hold of the hand, the nail-pierced hand of Jesus Christ, and believe in Him and truly repent of our sins, we are satisfied with Him. The benefit of satisfaction, it is a spiritual satisfaction. Notice the amazing contrast between verses 15 and 16 and then verse 17. In verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Notice the contrast. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Man is transient. Therefore, he seeks to be satisfied with temporal things. God is everlasting. His benefits are enduring. They never pass away. Oh, the blessing of knowing that salvation through Jesus Christ. When we see people grasping in this world after something that always seeks to evade them, and yet we know that there is available the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when men have that, they have that pearl of great price, the richer treasure that fadeth not away in the person of Jesus Christ. Even the unbelieving are satisfied with good things because they are God's benefits. But sadly, they haven't recognized it. And it hasn't yet led them to repentance. Has the goodness of God been touching your heart? I pray that tonight it will lead you to repentance. This satisfaction, the benefit of satisfaction, it's a spiritual satisfaction, not a material one. But also here in this benefit of satisfaction, there is also spiritual renewal. Look in verse 5 again. It says here, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the amazing thing about the Highlands of Scotland. You see the most amazing birds that you'll not see anywhere else in the British Isles. The golden eagle is there. You'll see the sea eagle, other eagles, amazing birds, quite majestic birds. And the psalmist here is using an illustration of the eagle to illustrate the renewal of youth in the heart and life of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Did you know that an eagle can live to 100 years old or more, shedding its plumage year by year and being renewed as with youth, strength, and energy right up to its death, can live to 100 years. And the psalmist chose to use that as an illustration of the spiritual life that the Lord brings us into when we are born again of the Holy Spirit of God. It begins the moment we are converted. And year by year, we are being renewed. We're getting older. We're getting slower, physically speaking. Our minds are not as sharp as they used to be. And you have to keep saying to your wife many times, I forgot about that. Sorry, I can't remember where I left that. And so it's a reminder we're getting older and our hair is getting gray and white. But for the Christian, We're getting nearer to glory. And the nearer we get to glory, we should be more and more conformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. More like Him. Our youth is being renewed like the eagles. It's lovely to sit beside people that are in their 90s or maybe even 100. And when you come into the presence of their believers, you immediately sense, here's a person who has been down the Christian pathway. They have proved God over the years, and as they get nearer to heaven, their youth has been renewed like the eagles, older in years, but still rejoicing and fresh in their spiritual experience as they get near the pinnacle to be with Christ or to be in His presence at His coming. That's the wonder of what God does for us in Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord has brought those into who have believed in Him and are saved. Our body grows old, but spiritually we rise up and we soar with wings as eagles. We run and are not weary. We walk and are not faint. What a treasury. What a treasury. We have only taken a glimpse at some of the benefits of this psalm. I'm asking you, have you claimed all your benefits in Christ? Why not decide to claim these benefits by repenting and believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? But you say, how can I be sure that what you say is real and will happen? Well, the psalmist knew there would probably be doubters and people that would be like that. And so he reminds us in verse 19, just look, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He's wanting to establish in our minds the one who has promised is the one who honors His promises. And His throne is established. It can never be cast down. It is an invincible throne. Man cannot destroy it. And His kingdom, His sovereignty, ruleth over all. And when you know Him as your Lord and Savior, His pardon, His redemption, His satisfaction, then you will go on to bless Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The last two verses, bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He lifts us from where we were to a crescendo of praise to adore the Lord of glory and all that He has done for us. Are you His? Believe in Him tonight. And you.